You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
Hello, Schmoville. Well, it is another episode of the Schmoes No Movie Show. I want to, first of all, thank all you guys for supporting us in the iTunes land. And as always, right next to me, partner in crime, Mr. Marcellius Roelius Elias Mark Ellis. How are you?
I saw what you did there. You backwards called me Mark Riley. You said Marcellius Roelius, and that would definitely be Mark Riley. This, on your horn right now, is Mark Ellis.
Hey, you just have that gravity review stuck in your head. That's all I'm saying.
The co-host and the looks, the personality, the sense of humor of the Schmoes No program. We are here live, semi-live, not really live at all, from the Drama 3-4 offices, as we have been for now. This is our third podcast here in the beautiful room that is provided to us by Drama 3/4.
Very happy to be partnered up with Drama 3-4, working with them on a lot of different projects, as well as broadcasting from their studios. Sitting next to me on my right, and if you're watching the video, you see this, is the woman who's been with us now for over a year. It's crazy to me that you've been around this long.
I know.
We haven't kicked you out yet. That's Tiffany Smith.
You mean that I keep coming back?
That's true.
I'm not quite sure why I do, but
this is the longest semi-monogamous relationship that we've ever had with a co-host.
Right? I mean, we cheat on you occasionally, but... Yeah, we cheat on you a couple times.
When you go out of town.
You cheat on me when I'm cheating on you.
Oh, yeah, you cheated on us a lot, DC All Access.
She's flying around the world, and I figure different hoes, different area codes, then we can, you know.
Yeah, well, she should be giving us 10% on at least one of our shows.
I got different
hoes. Ho-ho-hoes?
Hoes.
It's the holiday?
Get it? Okay.
Well, we're all in great spirits, obviously. This is going to be a fun show. For the next two shows, it's going to be very back to basics. It's just going to be the Schmoes No crew. No guests for the next two shows.
We don't want them.
We don't. And for our first show, we're going to be talking about a lot of...
But we do in 2014.
That's true. We will. We will have guests in 2014. But speaking of 2014, that is when the popular news segment by News Jerk, the pit boss himself, Ken Knapsack, will be back. I know that everybody in Schmoville is asking, what's going on with the news? What happened with the news? The news is coming back. We've answered it on the YouTube comments. It's coming back.
I heard he quit and moved to Idaho. The Kenny guy you're talking, the guy with the suit? Remember that guy with the suit? And he'd like come in and like, he wrote these one-liners about the news. And we're like, who is this guy?
Oh, I think it's so funny to talk about bears. yeah, and then we hired Will Forte to be the engineer. So actually, the funny thing is, we actually put a video, we taped the video where we gave Ken a present, Tiff, and it was a poster of Disney's Bears. And if you want to see that, if you're watching this video on YouTube, here you go.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't and you're listening to it on iTunes, you can go and check out the video on youtube.com/schmoesno.
And that's what you get when you're in with the schmoes. I mean, look, can we get you into the hottest nightclubs in LA? Maybe we can pull some strings. We can definitely get you a Disney's Bears poster.
Disney's Bears!
Yeah.
I want to see Ken talk about Walking with Dinosaurs next.
Oh, my goodness. You don't want to hear anybody talk about that movie.
Well, you want to hear us talk about it for 5 minutes and then never think about it again. That is one of the most disappointing, because I woke up hungover to go to that screening at like 10 a.m. on a Saturday, and it's a kid's movie, and it's just, I heard Walking with Dinosaurs and I got excited. And it's not what you think.
That's actually one of the movies that we're going to be talking about next week. There's a lot of movies that are coming out. Actually, no, Walking with Dinosaurs, we'll talk about this week. You're right, Mark. Next week is a lot of the Christmas movies that are coming out on Christmas.
And we also get to talk about next week. We'll be talking about the Christmas movies that we like to watch, like our families enjoy watching around the holiday time.
But what about this week? What's on this week? Well, again, Tiffany is the resident Hobbiton fan. She loves everything Middle Earth. We're fans as well. So what we thought we would do for the first like 15 minutes of this show is talk about The Hobbit. We've all seen the Desolation of Smaug, or as
it was good.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about, the three of us will talk about it a little bit. Then we're going to have Ken Knapsack come in, and then Riley will talk and we'll share our thoughts about The Hobbit.
This is exciting for me because I haven't really gotten to talk to that many people in the crew about The Hobbit yet. I mean, obviously you, because we did the review together. But you, as I don't know, a lot of people in Schmoville may not know, is that Tiffany was supposed to be my plus one at the screening. And so I'm a good boyfriend. I come back into town on Sunday and I text her. I'm like, hey, we all set for The Hobbit screening tomorrow? And then I said, should I get watermelon Sour Patch Kids like I know you like?
Aww.
And what does she write me back? Gotta shoot.
When was this? Monday. This wasn't Sunday.
Oh, she's turned into that girl. You've seen
it
that?
Wasn't
she was
Sunday?
Like,
oh, wait a minute.
Town on Sunday.
It wasn't Sunday. It was Monday.
It was Monday.
The screening was Monday.
Mike got back into town on Sunday. I know my itinerary. I texted you on Sunday night because I'm a good lover. And then the next day, it's like,
too far, Ellis. Too far.
That doesn't mean physical love.
That's not too far.
It doesn't mean physical love. We have an emotional connection, like Joaquin Phoenix in that operating system.
I'm on your side. I'm on your side. All right, lovers, let's talk about The Hobbit here. Now, Tiff, overall, I think that everybody, the three of us sitting here right now, these opinions could change in a little bit when we add new people to the fray. But the three of us, I think that we're all on the same page that we all thoroughly enjoyed this film. And we all saw the first one together.
Yeah.
Now, what did you like about Desolation of Smaug more than you liked about the first one?
I was rereading The Hobbit right before the movie came out, and I was like, okay, I don't want to finish. Yeah, I know, I'm a nerd. It's fine. We'll just embrace that and move on.
But you did your due diligence, and so I want to hear your perspective, because you did actually read the book and the appendices. Yeah. And so this is even a new movie to you, because Peter Jackson took artistic license and added so many elements.
Yeah, and that's where, we've already said there's going to be spoilers.
Right? Oh, yeah. Let everybody know, if you have not seen Hobbit 2, then you should turn this one off for the next 15, 20 minutes, because we're going to be talking about spoilers.
Thank you for reminding us. Yeah. Usually we're pretty good about that.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Spoiler rabbit.
All the stuff in the forest with the spiders and
That was the first thing you asked me. Do they have the spiders?
Yeah.
The spiders?
It's a little bit different how they get off the path. And that was when I was like, okay, I'm okay with it. We're off the path and I'm still on board with the movie, which I think a lot of times if you see people taking creative license on things, you're like, and I just trust Peter Jackson's direction so much that I loved it. I will say sometimes when there's flashbacks to stuff, like, Orlando Bloom looked a lot older.
Oh, yeah, and fatter. Now, the other thing...
Not fatter. He looked sad.
Well, yeah, he looked like he's been eating a lot. But wait, I want to ask you a question about...
I have a theory.
This.
Just at some point, I need to get to my theory about Orlando Bloom in this movie.
Save it. Because I want to ask her in regards to...
But Evangeline Lilly...
We'll get to her. I want to ask you about that book question. Okay. That book thing you said. I think that a lot of times I agree with you 100% that when they take too much liberty with it, you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But... And we've said this before, Mark, is that when you have a movie series that's based on a short book and off a popular movie series, this is not off of the book. This is not a version of the book. This is a clear prequel to the Lord of the Rings trilogy, because there's a lot of made up stuff that all ties in. None of the Lord of the Rings prequel tie-in stuff was in the original book. A lot of the stuff like with Sauron and all, they added that in there, and it's clearly to please the Lord of the Rings movies fans. Yeah, and I'm okay with it. I love that.
Again, it all comes back to the fact that this is Peter Jackson directing it, and you give that guy a certain amount of leeway. And also, I think Guillermo del Toro was a producer on this.
He was supposed to direct it at one point.
Yeah, and so he had some say as well. And those two imaginations together.
Well, the reason I think that he didn't, he was supposed to direct it.
Yeah.
And I think to kind of settle, they gave him a producer credit, and he like co-wrote it. He co-wrote it and stuff too. Yeah. So, he wanted to do Pacific Rim, so then he left.
But it felt like one of those movies, because there was so much stuff. It was just like you just get blown away by the imagination that it took to come up with all this stuff.
Well, and there was always – The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings have always been intertwined, books or movies. I think they definitely play up some things. Like, you know, even my friends and I, after we left, we were like, it was really interesting seeing when you see Sauron in the eye. And that
was awesome.
In the film,
so cool.
In the Lord of the Rings movies, you don't ever see him as that as the actual figure stepping forward.
Right.
And then you go back to it, like, this is totally movie nerd times, but originally in Return of the King, they were going to have Viggo and the physical manifestation of Sauron fighting.
Oh, yeah, that would have been
and
cool.
And it didn't happen. They decided not to do that.
Yeah, so they decided to make a 3-hour movie with 19 different endings, and that wasn't one of them in Return of the King? Really?
Yes.
Wow. I got a question about Sauron.
What?
Because Sauron is like right there in The Hobbit, the one we just saw. He can just kill Gandalf like right there. Like, how does Gandalf keep surviving all these things? Gandalf looks like he's about to die in every scene.
Because he's a wizard.
Well, that's, How does he? Well, that's the thing with Gandalf is that you can say that about any hero.
He's getting into these situations.
How does Indiana Jones survive?
Yeah,
you know.
But Gandalf just seems kind of like a moron because he keeps stumbling into these things.
But he always goes in with his eyes open. He knows what's going down. Right. Like
he seemed pretty sure.
He walked away.
When
he
told him, he's like, this is going to be dangerous.
That bird guy is the new Jar Jar Binks, by the way. He is the new Jar Jar Binks. That bird guy. He wasn't as bad. He wasn't as bad this one. He's starting to get there. Every time he shows up with the birds in his hats, it reminds me of like something like a character from Labyrinth that never made it in the film.
Which is much better than Jar Jar.
Where you have to go back to the fact that The Hobbit was more of a children's vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a much lighter hearted
That's my point, as what I said before with the books.
But that's what I'm saying with the other wizard. When, you know, you have him in there, it's kind of like the light. You're still paying homage.
Okay, yeah. And he wasn't as annoying as he was in the first one, for sure. But that's what I really liked about this movie as opposed to the first one, is that it was less kiddish, not a lot of songs. I did think that relationship was so forced between Evangeline and Lily.
Ah, they're singing again. I'm taking a leak.
I like fishing birds and birds and fishing birds. It's like, come on, find the fucking
ring. Dude, but in Lord
of
the Rings, every time they sang songs.
Look at Ken's dancing.
Every time they sang songs in Lord of the Rings, I was into it. Like,
different.
A billion percent.
Different, though. Like, when Mary sings that song.
Oh, man.
That was great because the way that worked with, it was tragic and you're going off to battle. That worked. When they got there in the beginning, it was like that scene in Return of the Jedi, the re-release when the, ooh, bada, 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 whatever that song
is. Yeah, but it's also giving a vibe of what this, like, we don't know dwarves at this point. So it's like, okay, in the first movie, you're getting to know what the dwarf kind of vibe is.
Could we have cut it down 23 minutes? The song is so fucking long.
No, because you're at anything.
I watched it again and I liked it.
Anything that you ask about cutting down anything with Peter Jackson, the answer is no. This thing is 2 hours and 42 minutes. Now, I know that Christian has theories on this. I'd like to get yours, Tiff. How do you feel about interspecies mating, particularly when it comes to elves and dwarves? Should they stick to their own kind or should they venture out there into the wilderness? This is akin to a human sleeping with the sheep, by the way.
And a made-up storyline by Peter Jackson.
Like, there's a reason why. Yes, I feel like some of it, with that storyline in particular, was to...
don't pay attention. See, you don't have, no one can see that.
Everyone can see that you were just resting the mic on your nose, and then I was weird.
You lost thought process. I was in the middle of it.
So, I think that on some level where, you know, you hear him even talk about, and there were articles where Evangeline was saying that there weren't really strong female characters within the story, and it would have been a film that was all dudes. And so that's why she got kind of, they wanted to add someone in. Yeah. And I think that's awesome, but I also think that it's like, there is a very fine line of, we're going to change this story to make it more PC, which is where I almost think the interspecies relationship is
like... Well,
they
also wanted romance because the original, what I read, the story was... That was all reshoots because what originally happened when they signed Evangeline Lilly on, she said, absolutely, I want to do it. I just don't want to be involved in a love triangle because of Lost. She was already in it.
Lost, so, and then also big budget movies that are fantasy like a Hunger Games or a Twilight.
Yeah,
like that.
So she went ahead and shot it and it was great. But then the studio wanted a love triangle thing. So they made sure that it happened, and then they brought her back, and they're like, and she's like, shit.
Okay.
So they did it, but that's the thing. That's why, to me, it felt forced.
Yeah.
And obviously, hearing that story, I think it supports the theory.
Yeah.
But let me say this, and that maybe it's because I'm from the South, and our opinion on interspecies mating, it's a little more wishy-washy than the rest of the world, but I love that storyline happened because it gave her something else to do. Because let's face it, those elves are dead lays, man. They are boring. They do nothing with their lives. They live in the dark. They worship the light, yet they never want to go, you know, I don't know, go to sandals in Bermuda and actually get some suntans.
The same kind of story as with the Hobbits, where, you know, when you see Legolas in Lord of the Rings and you see where he's at now, it's like that's what Bilbo was. Like when he started the story out, he's like this guy who never leaves the Shire. Never has an adventure.
That's what I'm talking about, because that's why Orlando Bloom looks better in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
He's in shape.
Because he got out, because he saw that he lost this chick.
He's
also, somebody
in the cave,
else.
So he's
so
fat.
Now,
when he gets on, he's doing, when he goes on the Fellowship of the Ring, he's
I need
shape,
to join a gym. Right. I need to go jogging.
That makes sense.
I need to do yoga.
All right, I'm on board with that theory.
Wait, did anyone else really, this is like nerding out times, but did anyone else nerd out when the dwarf was showing him the photo?
And
he was like, this is my son, Gimli. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to be best friends.
I got that, yeah. I love that
too. Now, you know, it's funny you mentioned Hobbits before. Look, we got to talk about Bilbo, because you talk about a character that totally changed. Like, when Bilbo to me in the beginning, not that he was annoying in the first one, but it was just like, it was the same thing. You say, okay, he doesn't want to be on the quest, and now he's pissed off, and they're going to do that for all three movies. And this fucking guy kicks ass in this movie.
He went from being so C-3PO into being Han Solo. Total, I mean, he just falls face first into adventure now, whereas in the first one, he was very hesitant. Yeah. But you know why?
The ring.
That damn ring?
Yeah, the ring. He's ready for some shit. Yeah, it showed you that he's so much more of a badass than Frodo was, because Frodo's like, oh, Sam, I need your help, Sam. And this fucker's jumping on spiders.
No, because it's also, the fact was that Sauron was closer and the enemy had built his power up more. So he was battling against more than Bilbo was.
Now, next time Sean Astin's in here, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, you remember that scene?
I probably won't be able to talk, because I'll just be like.
Again, like you were last time. You want to see some Tiffany turning red? Go look at Schmo Plus videos of Sean Astin.
I was fine during the time he was on the podcast. It was immediately after
when he signed your butt.
When he was like, so I hear you're a really big fan. And I was like, oh, God, I'm sweating. I'm like, I don't know what to say. Yeah, I'm a really big fan of the movies.
Yeah, she whistled in the ear. She went, da, 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 da.
I was there. I witnessed the whole thing. I was sitting there. And it was really looking at these two. It actually made me feel more comfortable around Sean Astin, who's an actor that I greatly admire, because of how much you were freaking out. I was like, by contrast, Ellis is the coolest guy in the room.
True. It's such a weird experience. Because you, like, growing up reading the books and then seeing the characters and loving the film so much, it's like your mind is blown.
I grew up wanting to play for Notre Dame. How do you think? I grew up wanting to hang out with Pauly Shore and dig up a caveman. So nervous being around Mr. Astin.
Speaking of being nervous around people, I want to bring in our producer, Ken Napsa.
Why?
Because he just saw the movie.
What?
If you crap on this movie.
Well, wait, let's wait. Let's.
I'm gonna punch you in the nuts.
Now, look, last week when we talked about Lord of the Rings, Ken Napsok is a huge fan of the Lord of the Rings movies. He loves Lord of the Rings. So we're going to talk to him. Now, he wasn't a big fan of Hobbit.
Justifiably so. That was a real bad movie.
You did not. Can I ask you, how many schmoes would you give the Hobbit?
Two and a half out of five.
Did you see it 48 frames in 3D?
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that, too. We should talk about that as well.
Yeah.
Did you see part two in 48 frames?
No, I went to the normal frame rate.
Okay, all right.
Because I did not want to see beard glue and gaffer's tape.
Right.
During my viewing.
Listen, I'm with you, because I think that really changed my perspective on the whole damn movie. I felt like I was watching a movie and not the actual film.
Yeah. Not a BBC stage play.
Wait, I got to say something, though.
Yeah.
What was up with the GoPro shots going down the water? When they were in the barrels?
Yeah, because they have the technology, so they feel they can do this kind of stuff now.
Okay. It pulled me out of the movie.
Okay, all right.
I would love to hear what other people think.
It made me want to go to an amusement park based on The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Now, Kenny, let me ask you this, because we've all seen the film, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we all are celebrating it, and when I got the text from you last night that you were seeing the movie, I was happy that my buddy is going to go get to treat himself, because you work so hard day in, day out for this show, for other projects in your life, and I'm like, good, Kenny's treating himself, and you walk out of the theater smiling, high-fiving people, right?
No, because I sit alone in the corner like a weird man with a jacket and a hat. I'm not approaching.
Do you grunt and make noises when you're
I should.
Stop it.
You should.
I'm saving that for American Hustle.
Don't grunt. Just say words. Go sniff, sniff. Let's see how that goes over. I think that'll go over well.
Okay.
Tiffany's face.
I've had some really.
Ken, do your producer job and get us back
in the theater.
On track.
Hey.
Anybody saying sniff, sniff?
There you go.
No, worse.
I really enjoyed the movie. All right. I'll get that out there. What I think I enjoyed, I haven't read the books. I'm a fan of the movies, not the books, because I don't want to learn to speak Elvish.
Okay.
I just want to read about it.
You don't want to get
a
tattoo in it.
Yeah, love the Game of Thrones books. So I enjoyed the movie. So what they added in versus what is not in the book, I actually don't know.
Right.
And so I enjoyed a lot of stuff.
So you're watching it as a legitimate prequel at this point.
Evangeline's Lily's character, which I know is a completely made-up character, Tariel, enjoyed her. Right. The love triangle, a little weak for me.
Yeah. But she went in fine. If you asked me to pick out who was not in the book, who's in the movie, I wouldn't have been able to tell you.
No.
I couldn't.
Baird was good too.
Baird was good.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
Stephen Fry is the leader. There was
Luke
funny.
Luke Evans is about to blow up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
he was good. So again, long, but I got it, and I was on board with the stuff, even the chase at the beginning. What takes me out of this movie, and I realize it's not necessarily a problem I have with Peter Jackson, it's a problem I now have with modern action movies. You mentioned taking out of the movie the GoPro shots. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of watching animated versions of Orlando Bloom and Martin Freeman.
Okay.
Martin
and Freeman. CGI orcs.
Right. Yeah, okay, go back to Return of the King.
Didn't need any CGI orcs.
The lead orc in that battle, he's that really grotesque guy. That character was one of my favorite characters.
Or even the guy that fights Baron. In Fellowship.
Yeah. It's real. And so here you got completely. I'm like watching Attack of the Clones again.
Yeah.
I'm watching cartoons, and it takes me out of the movie. But also, you got urban legends out there. You know, 9/11. When the towers collapsed, a guy wrote it all the way down. And now you got that with the Hobbit writing, and giant things been crumbling. And he's writing this brick as it's falling, and he doesn't get a scratch on him. I'm out of the movie.
So when that kind of stuff happens, action.
even though you're in Middle Earth.
It does.
That's what I was going to ask. The action that involves elves and dwarves and orcs didn't feel realistic enough to you.
It did not. It felt like a video game. Yeah. In the original trilogy, there's some weird, usually around Orlando Bloom's Legolas character, when like he gets on the horse all weird and it's kind of outdated already.
Yeah.
There was too much of that where I'm like, no, that dragon would have killed you by now. Something would have fallen off. I was driving on the freeway the other day, I hit a rock, I'm still shaking.
Right.
And this hobbit's falling from a tree, being chased by spiders, hitting every branch on the way
down. I know where
you're
going with it. I mean, I think that they were, I think that it's gradually, hopefully by the third movie, that stops, because the first movie, there was too much.
But my point is, it's not just Peter Jackson. That's almost every action movie nowadays. It's some fire explosion leaping in.
They use all their cool, they gotta use the
toys.
They have to use their toys.
For that kind of stuff, where I walked out and was thinking, you know, there were certain things where you wrote them off and said, okay, that's fine, because of the Lord of the Rings movies, where it's like, even with Orlando doing crazy stuff, I was like, but he surfed down and he was on the shield and blah, 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 so I know he can do that stuff. And
don't you think there's a little too much of that sometimes, like when he's turning around?
I wonder, for people who aren't Lord of the Rings fans that see that, is it even worse for them? Because even when Evangeline's healing him, and it's all of a sudden like the white light around her.
Yeah.
I was like, if you hadn't seen the first movie and saw Liv Tyler and
you would get
do that, you'd be like, oh, this is just like a moment where there's like hearts in his eyes. But because I know that's how it happens when the elves are healing.
Yeah.
It was a little bit different. So I wonder, for people who aren't Lord of the Rings fans seeing this, if that stuff is like ridiculous.
I think that's true.
I am a Lord of the Rings fan, but I'm not the hardcore fan to where I like rewatched the movies right before I saw The Hobbit. So I'm still going mainly off memory. So I remember a lot of the stuff that I can't look at a scene and be like, oh, that did happen in the first three. What I do like about these movies is that fantastical kind of action sequence that I would be yelling at if that was John McClane that was surfing around in barrels and skimming down places on a shield.
Right.
I'd be like, that is unrealistic to me. But since we're already in a fantasy world,
I can buy that to a point.
But Ken, I know where you're going though too, because you want it, because the difference in Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings was the action served the story.
Yes.
And sometimes in this movie, it seems like, oh, there could be we can really make a cool action scene and let's add about 5 minutes to it.
Yeah.
I that didn't bother me because I was cool, but I understand how, like, if you're comparing it to Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, I can understand why that.
Are we only talking about the barrel scenes?
No, I'm talking about the whole thing.
Even the bear thing, like when he comes in at the end and Legolas was never a guy who was Aragorn, who was fighting guys by himself. But this one he does, and that's okay. I don't mind when he's fighting orcs.
Yeah, he was.
Not just though. He wasn't like the main guy. He's the one who runs up to look for everything
that's going on before they get there.
And Legolas has a personal investment here, man. He's trying to impress Tariel.
Anytime
you try to get laid, you perform 50% better.
By the way, Tariel's gonna eat shit in the third one because she's not around anymore.
Kind of like Ahsoka Tano in the Star Wars Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah, but anyway, I want to make it clear what'd you schmo the movie?
I would give this a 3.5 out of 5.
So you go fresh.
I enjoyed it.
It's a good movie.
What you're doing right now. You're Mark Ellison like Man of Steel here, because you did overall like the movie, but there's just, you have to talk about, sometimes when you see a movie and it's a good movie, you have to talk about why it wasn't great as opposed to what made it good.
Yeah, well, look, I liked a lot of the stuff in here. I liked the lore and clearly you calling it a prequel is very smart, and I had that in my head going in. I enjoyed it a lot more because I liked when they explained, like, oh, when it ties into other stuff, I like the world that's created.
Yeah, it helps the movie fans.
So I like all that
Let me ask you one more question, Ken. Yeah. Is that my biggest problem with this movie, and I just now I'm kind of wrapping my head around this, is the title. Because The Desolation of Smaug we're about to see Smile go rip some shit up. He ripped some shit up before the movie started a generation ago. We don't actually see Smile desolate anything. We saw the ruins of what he already took care of, and now he's flying off pissed off about to go do this again.
That refers to the area around him.
It was the desolation created.
There could be more. That's what the third one's called, More Desolation of Smile.
Smile currently desolate.
I want to give up my seat to Riley. So there's that. So again, the big thing was the action sequences. It's like Peter Jackson saw Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and said, I like what they did in some of those scenes. I'm okay with a lot of stuff they added, so I was okay.
And you like the dragon?
Yeah, me too.
The final scene, the dragon, that's what I want to bring about.
The acting in this movie in general?
Yes, like, and I want to bring Riley in for that, because we're going to bring Mark Riley in. Yodi is going to come in.
So we'll get another piece of pizza.
Please do.
Benedict Cumberbatch, people. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Very, very disgusting. You should say that in the movie theater.
JTI Facebooked something the other day that was like Benjamin Cumberbatch. And
really?
I was like, what are you talking about? Good. Benjamin?
Did he call him Benjamin? That. Probably.
Yeah.
All right.
So not only can he not pronounce names, Facebook. He can't get names right of actors that he can pronounce.
Yeah. I love how Ken crawled right in front of the camera, and you clearly saw his big hump go right over it.
You know what's really depressing is that we're not going to have Ken on the podcast actually review and talk about a movie again until Disney's Bears.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, yeah, we're going to make him see Bears. Wow. All right, so now joining us is Mark Riley, a.k.a. Yodi, the editor-in-chief of our website, schmozno.com.
And a big Middle Earth fan.
He is.
I am a big
So Riley's here
fan.
To talk. We're going to talk about the acting in The Hobbit. We'll talk about the dragon, and then we're going to move off The Hobbit, and we'll talk about some trailers that are out there, because Riley's posts a lot of them on the website. But let's talk about Smaug himself. Riley, what did you think of Benedict, or as JTI would say, Benjamin Cumberbatch?
Benjamin Cumberpatch.
How'd you feel about Benedict Cumberbatch as Smaug?
Benjamin Cabbage Patch?
You know, I didn't think much of him, because I was completely lost in the fact that Smaug was so real.
Yeah.
I literally tried to hear his voice
as Smaug,
and it was just so spot on that I just kind of laid back and went, okay. Smaug, yes. Ken Napsok, everyone.
All right.
Obviously he's fantastic.
They're paired up. Him from Sherlock. Do you watch Sherlock?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, getting the two of them together in this situation, I'm like...
It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
The point of violin ain't going to get you out of this one, Martin Freeman. You know?
I mean,
that's what I loved his interaction with this huge gay Hollywood producer, I'm sorry, dragon, that he's got to go up against, because Smaug kind of likes to toy with his victims a little bit. I mean, that's what I love about this dragon, that he's like a Bond villain with scales.
You know what it reminded me of, too? It's that scene in Neverending Story. When Atreyu runs into Nork. Come from Nork, I am Atreyu! Remember that scene?
The big wolf,
the big
right?
Wolf. Yeah. That whole thing, because it was that back and forth of like where he's quizzing him, like, who are you? And then he just goes after him. And like that whole scene of Smell, what are you laughing at?
True story about Christian Harloff at his wedding. He referenced Atreyu three times in his wedding vows.
I love you.
It was Bastion, not a trick.
I don't remember anything about your wedding anyway.
No, you still don't.
No, I love, and you were talking earlier about the book. I'm a big fan of the book and have been reading. Yeah. I just went back to read it as well, and I'm kind of pouring through it and reading some of the scenes between Bilbo and Smaug, and it holds up really well in the movie adaptation, and I love that.
That's great.
And it's even, you get the building from, because the first one, we get him with Gollum.
Yeah.
And it's like this banter back and forth where he really has to be quick. He really has to come up with things to save his own ass.
Yeah.
And then he gets a Smaug and it's like, okay, I still have to do the same thing.
Yep.
How am I going to be quick on my feet?
This is the big dance here.
That was the thing that I don't know if it bothered me, but I think it bothered me, like it was supposed to bother me character-wise, was when Balin, that was his name, right? Balin?
Thorin.
When Thorin kind of turns on Bilbo. You know, at the end
of
the
day. Yeah, but that's what they said.
I know. No, no, no.
It's because of the Arkenstone.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
What's with the Arkenstone?
It's the when you get the Arkenstone,
like,
I mean, it's like it's almost like the ring. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thorin is getting, he's the wealth, the sheer volume of wealth is causing him to have evil thoughts.
Right.
Okay,
it bothered me like it was supposed to. Not that I had a problem with it. I'm glad it was in a movie, but
I see.
I'm saying that, like, because Bilbo has been just like sacrificing himself and doing all this stuff for this fuck. And now he's basically telling Ken, you're right. Ken is choking to death on pizza in the background. Sorry. But yeah.
He's eating his feelings for that barrel scene.
So when that back and forth happened, again, I like that that character development was going on. And then they looked, and Ellis, I know that you thought that they were going to take Smaug out with that gold.
I was really happy that Smaug didn't die in that, like, you know, butterscotch sauce that they dumped on him, because if that had happened, it would have been like, oh, that's okay, because we got to end the movie. I was so happy that Smaug shook that off, flew away, even more pissed off, like a jilted lover flying back to the site. That was like watching Jordan get on a plane and fly to Madison Square Garden, because you know he's just going to set that place on fire. Now, spinning this forward, let me ask you, Kit, because you guys read The Hobbit, so do you guys know what happens?
Yes.
Do you guys know who kills Smaug, or if Smaug kills everybody else?
I know what happens.
Don't say anything. Don't say
anything. Yes. No, I want to know if they know.
Yeah, they know.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, I just want them to think that was an invitation to ruin it.
I won't.
No, I don't.
This is...
Because that would ruin the third movie.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not going to ruin it. I tell you, it wouldn't...
The third one?
It's not going to ruin it, because I enjoy watching these things anyway, and I kind of have an idea. I can piece together what's going to happen.
Right.
But just the way that Peter Jackson actually portrays this stuff on screen is just so incredible to watch.
Yeah.
And again, that's why I don't mind the long running time, because there's not that many chances in life when you get to go to Middle Earth in this way. And so
I still think with the gold moment, though, I was like, Game of Thrones! You know when Khal Drogo pours the gold on her?
I did think about that for a split second.
And that's called what? A golden shower.
A gold.
Right?
Oh,
yeah. It's true.
So look, I just hope that one thing that I hope is, and I think it's what's the human Baird?
Bard.
Luke Evans.
Bard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what I hope doesn't happen. It looks like it's going to go down the road that he's going to get this arrow and he's going to shoot Smaug and kill Smaug because he's like the ancestor to the guy that was supposed to do it. I hope that's not the case, because that to me just is another, it's the same shit that we saw from Aragorn.
And that's an impossible shot. You want to talk about Ken Napstock having a problem with some of the barrel scenes and shooting down. That is Lee Harvey Oswald. If he was in a book depository in Austin making that shot into Dallas.
Right.
I mean, there's one scale that's missing and you're going to hit that. Like
it's like Lee Harvey Oswald being
in
Dallas.
But that's like every epic story where it's like there's one tiny ring and he has to get to the one spot where all the bad guys are.
No, but that's what I'm saying, is that it's harder to make the shot from Austin than it is from Dallas.
I understand that. I'm saying, forget it.
It's a longer shot.
It's a longer conversation. I'm saying,
wow, I'm glad you're arguing about something that's 60 years old.
I'm saying you didn't make it originally. All right. Anyway, so moving on to other things. Riley,
you also have to, when you're saying that it's a lot of the same stuff as Lord of the Rings, it's like when he wrote it, that was prior to, and it's like, okay, and then Lord of the Rings fleshed it all out
a
lot more. So there are a lot of similar.
And Tolkien did go back and fix pieces of The Hobbit. Because
are those the appendices that I keep hearing about?
Yeah, well, he created the appendices, but he was such a thorough writer that I actually heard a story that he went back to a printed edition of Lord of the Rings and changed a few words because – in his case, the moon wasn't in the right phase in the story. So we had to go back and fix that.
I hope I don't become like that with Schmoes. Like me in 30 years trying to edit out a little piece of a review. Like, I don't like the way Harlov blinked in that one.
I mean, like George Lucas?
That laughing in Sex and the City 2 is professional. All right, let's get moving on to, we have Riley with us. So, okay, that was our Hobbit talk.
What if we Harvey Oswald's in Houston? Is that cool?
I don't think you understand what I was saying. All right, so Mark Riley, who is our editor-in-chief at SchmoesKnow.com, every week, he posts stories. Every day he posts stories.
He's busting his ass on the website.
Yeah,
thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
There's no exception. There were a lot of trailers that came out.
Yeah.
Why don't we do it this way? Why don't you start with the first trailer that you saw this week that you enjoyed, and then we'll kind of go roundtable on that.
Then you
can bring up the trailers that you saw this week. What was the main trailer that you enjoyed that you really watched seeing, and what did you think of it?
Godzilla.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So what was it about Godzilla? And what do you think about these little fucking teasers that they're putting out, the 3-second teasers before they actually put the trailer?
Well, no, I hate those teasers.
Teasers to the trailer.
The teasers to the trailer, like that Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
So stupid.
One. It was like, you know.
It's a Caesar. I can wait 3 days.
Yeah, I can wait 3 days. Yeah. You know, it's always the, you know, tomorrow is, you can see this, and it's a tease. They did that with Captain America. Yeah. They did that with the Spider-Man thing.
Say that
whatever.
Now, but wait till Star Wars. Oh, a lightsaber.
Yeah, exactly.
If I hear the lightsaber noise, when somebody who has that as their ringtone, gets a call from somebody. Yeah, I feel
2015.
I feel something.
See, I don't feel like they did that with, like, remember when Phantom Menace trailer came out? There was like a big event. I remember watching it on the Channel 4 News.
Kenny paid to go see Meet Joe Black 3 times so he could go watch.
That was you.
Yeah.
All right, let's open the trailer.
All right, Godzilla.
What is it that you liked about it? What are you, I mean, overall, you're a big Godzilla fan. What's the deal?
You know, I've never been a Godzilla fan.
I've never been in the old movies. I think the only one I've really seen that I liked as a kid was Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was a big King Kong fan for some reason. But for this one, it was because of, it was the pacing of it. Yeah. It was the start of them doing the halo jump.
Mm-hmm.
And the like,
soldiers.
The talking, the soldiers, you know, and it's like, you're kind of already invested in like, you know, you guys are doing something that we shouldn't be asking you to do this, but we're going to fucking do it. And you're our best. And then to see them going down and then just through the goggles, seeing that one, the spine.
Yeah.
It gave me chills.
All
and then it goes through and it's like shot after shot and it was very character driven, which is what I noticed. Yeah. I mean, you see that, then you
like
see
Pacific
Walter
Grimm. I'm just kidding.
And, you know, then you see Bryan Cranston in a moment, and he's kind of like crying, it almost looks like. So I was invested in that.
Right.
But then it was that final shot where you see Godzilla, like, I've never seen Godzilla like this, where he's so fucking big.
Yeah.
And so, like, so much destruction, and there's
like
so
Godzilla
much.
Godzilla as opposed to a dinosaur that Roland Emmerich created.
Yeah, the Roland Emmerich was on the other day. I watched like five minutes of
horrendous.
It, and I was like, oh, God.
It's so bad.
But this is like, you know, the way he moves, like, it's just slow and lumbering because it shows he's a force of nature.
Right.
All right, and then that last, the Godzilla roar, and you got me.
Now, it seems like everybody's going crazy over this, this trailer. Now, Tiffany, you've got a funny story, but you actually saw the trailer in the theater. What happened?
I was like, I'm going to wait to see. I wanted to see it in the theater because I know everyone was talking about it. I was like, I'm going to hold off because if you go to see The Hobbit before that. So it comes up on the screen and I'm like, I have not seen anything. So I had no idea what it was. And you see the spine and I go, holy sh! And it's like drops silent.
Holy what?
I literally just said holy sh! Because
you
when
didn't
it
say
happened.
Shit in the,
no, I didn't because
all
the sound went off. Like.
Right.
At that moment, like, it was like, I timed it and I totally didn't. And everyone in the entire theater started laughing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
Did you legitimately not know that it was a Godzilla trailer?
No.
That's cool. Here's what I'm going to do. And hopefully he doesn't listen
that's
to the podcast
cool.
on the plate. I'm going to set that up for my brother and like full screen it so he doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
Cause I want to see everybody that I know that is a fan of Godzilla watch the trailer through the prism of not knowing what this trailer is.
That's such a good point. Because the thing is too, because trailers have changed so much. Even the last 2 years, because everybody waits for trailers to drop online now. And like you look at like all these YouTube channels that post trailers, and there's millions and millions upon millions of views for these trailers. Not a lot of people experience them for the first time
the
in theaters
way
anymore.
Should.
Yeah, and well, that's right. I mean, look, I like seeing trailers sometimes. A lot
depends
of times
on the
because
movie.
It depends on the movie, but that. I feel like I was almost ruined now.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see. I didn't even think about that. Honestly.
But
I would have loved to have seen it that way.
The way I thought about that trailer watching, the reason why I loved it so much is because I watched it like a little movie. Because I knew I was watching Godzilla, so let's see if I get the bang for my buck here.
Yeah.
And I so totally got everything that I wanted. The way you were teased, I like seeing the flash of a tail and saying, what was that? Like, it was almost like I was there, and I was like, what was that? Looked like something that I've seen before. And then you see another shot, and you're like, that looks like the same kind of whatever those stegosaurus shit that he has, you know, on his back. Yeah. And then you see the full thing, and you're like, that is Godzilla. And the way that they built that up. Now, can the movie do as good a job when it's spotted 2 hours to do that? Probably not. And that's why I loved watching trailers a lot more than movies before we got into seeing them for free, when I was just a schlub that would rather watch trailers than movies because they're shorter and they sometimes tell a better story, like what Phantom Menace did, than the actual movie.
Now, it's funny, too, because I loved the trailer. And I actually loved Godzilla when I was a kid. I used to dress up as Godzilla and everything, too, when I was a little kid. I loved Godzilla. I don't think there has been a great monster movie made. I cracked a joke about Pacific Rim, and what I meant was there wasn't a lot of character development, but I really enjoyed Pacific Rim because I enjoyed watching robots fight monsters, and I stand by that.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you, Riley, that I want to see a movie where there's some great characters who have to deal with this. My thing is that Godzilla for me.
Oh, is this our fight?
This is our fight. Godzilla for me Godzilla's not a bad guy.
Listen to this shit.
He's not a bad guy. He's like, if you watch old movies.
That's right.
He's not. He's just a
like
monster.
Frankenstein, though.
Well, he turned into a good guy later.
But that's
right.
He's
correct.
He's a
series.
He's part 8 when he fought Mechagodzilla. He was a hero.
But he's a wild animal on the loose.
Yeah, I know. And that's a terrifying thing.
I didn't say he wasn't scary. I said he wasn't evil. And I hope they don't make him evil because he's not evil.
What you told me that day that we got in the fight is you said that he's not a villain.
He's not a villain.
He totally, dude. Let me put it to you this way.
So if a wild bear goes running around smashing shit, that bear's a villain?
Just because you dressed up as this fucker when you were a kid doesn't mean he's a good guy.
I got a point here that finish your point and then I think I can.
Well, let me put Christian Harloff on the streets of Tokyo looking for a slice of pie like you did.
Scared out of my mind. Yeah. Shitting my pants.
And I say,
I wouldn't say he's a villain. I say he's a fake fucking lizard.
And who's
that's
going
to step on my face?
The bad guy is the guy that is trying to step on you. And you need to stop the bad guy.
But that's you labeling him a bad guy. You're a bad guy for labeling him a bad guy.
Also,
he's a fucking lizard running around in the street.
No.
It's the whole thing about having a strong villain.
Yeah.
Or bad guy, where it's like you can relate to them on some level, where it's like if you were like a giant put in somewhere with a bunch of little people and you got scared and panicked and accidentally stepped on a bunch of people and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's a wild beast that's just destroying shit.
I said force of nature, and if you look at Jaws, is the shark the villain?
Yes, because he in Jaws 4, he goes after the
Shut
Brody
up,
family.
Shut up. Yeah. Shut up. I will not acknowledge
Jaws
4. Jaws
the revenge.
Yeah. No, but it's a force of nature, so Godzilla's coming in there, and I actually agree with what Tiffany said. I think he's just coming out, and he's so big, he's just destroying everything and doesn't know what he's doing.
Wrong. You know, to me, that's a villain. To me, that's somebody that I have to defeat in order to win.
So then by that accord, would you say that Caesar from the Apes is a villain?
To a human? Yes.
Okay,
I didn't say I wasn't going to root for Godzilla. Yeah. I root for mutants, and I root for dinosaurs, and I root for vampires, and pretty much anything that is geared to beat humanity.
I think this comes to a definition of villain.
We shot a review today. We shot a review today of Walking with Dinosaurs. And anytime Ellis says dinosaurs, he goes back into the southern pronunciation of it. Dinosaurs! And it kills me.
Well, Godzilla is a dinosaur.
If I was going to talk, I'd be like, look at that dinosaur!
Hey, he's a villain! All right, let's go. Let's go to the next trailer to talk about. There's another one. Isn't there one with Tom Cruise that came out?
Yeah, and man,
oh yes,
looks like it looks like Oblivion all over again.
It's like
with Emily Blunt,
Edge of Tomorrow,
Edge of Tomorrow, and basically what the movie is that this guy is able to almost like regenerate like a
Groundhog Day
game
for sci-fi.
Yeah, like a video game. And there was a script going around that our buddy Naveed McElargy actually had for a while that was like this movie and maybe better. I don't know, but I dig this trailer. I know some people are saying
I liked it too.
I think it looks better than Oblivion because I think Oblivion to me was a ripoff of Moon, just in a bigger body.
Yes.
But I wish Oblivion hadn't come out because I think that it really hurts this film's chances.
I don't know, man.
Of
this
succeeding
looks
because
bigger.
I was watching the trailer and I said this just looks like more Oblivion. And Oblivion, it really left a sour taste in my mouth.
But also, Oblivion didn't do that well, so not that many people saw it enough to say, "Well, it looks just like Oblivion."
But it didn't do that well. And so how is this movie going to get out of that? And
I also think that the soldiers look like Elysium kind of thing. I think there's a lot going on that I've seen before, but I'm trying to...
Slash Jaegers a little bit,
yeah. Who directs this one? Do you know?
Doug Liman.
See? That's why that gets me more excited, too. Like, I want to see...
Do you like Doug Liman?
I do like Doug Liman.
Also, Emily Blunt. I love her.
I'm more excited for her,
I feel like for her to come in and want to do a big action movie... And there's a moment in the trailer where she's like, "You're not a soldier, you're a weapon." And I was like, "Oh, she's badass, I'm in."
Yeah.
She's been doing it too.
Yeah, she's like, come find me. The one that teaches him.
I don't know.
I guarantee you, let's place a bet on this, that I guarantee you he's singing a different tune. I bet you he loves this fucking movie.
No, but you know
guarantee.
What? I will say this, I'm tired of Tom Cruise wearing futuristic spaceflight costumes.
He does it a lot.
I don't care, I'm not gonna lie.
He does it at home, apparently, too. And go make Top Gun 2. Don't make these futuristic combat movies. Make one about now. Avenge Goose.
Alright. Okay, Top Gun 2 is coming.
Is it real? I thought it was back and forth.
No. Now, since Bruckheimer went over to Paramount, they greenlit Beverly Hills Cop 4, and then after that, it's going to be Top Gun 2.
I'll take both of those.
Thank you.
There you go.
All right.
Brett Ratner is directing Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Okay, never mind. I don't want it anymore.
Gross.
There you go. Facty McFacterson in full effect.
I just bought this, and it's broken. Can I return it?
Yeah.
Gross. That's fucking gross. All right. Thanks for ruining my life. All right. Next, what else did we get?
We got the Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer.
That one and the International. They both dropped.
And the International, yeah.
All right. So what did we feel about this trailer? What did you like about it, Riley? Dislike it?
You know, I hate
Spider-Man.
put an emotion in his head.
Yeah.
So, Riley, you hated this trailer. Why?
No.
Why did you despise this?
I didn't despise it.
Why do you not like Jamie Foxx's face?
Yeah. What do you have against people who aren't white?
Okay, now I'm leaving. Do your own fucking podcast. I'm mixed on it. I thought it looked good. Somewhat. It just looked very cartoony to me. It looked like there's
CGI?
Too much CGI.
Ken was talking about
the scenes where it takes you out. Like the end when he's
when he's flying through and there's all that electricity. And I mean, it just looks, I love the first shot of him like falling and you kind of see the Spider-Man symbol.
Wind and stuff.
But you know, unfortunately, the first thing I thought when I saw the new costume was, oh, it looks like the exact same costume from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
It does. But they made the eyes bigger.
Does that really bother you, though?
It does bother
me. Why?
Because we've seen this movie now. We've seen...
Just because he's wearing the same costume, though. Why is that
so? Spider-Man's costume is...
Amazing Spider-Man, I loved the look of the costume, and it was completely different.
Yeah.
A lot of complaint from purists, though.
Yeah. I'm a purist, too, but it was just they were...
Back in the day, they didn't have Under Armour.
I don't mind the thing with, I mean, again, look, if Henry Cavill was wearing Christopher Reeve's suit, I would have been fine with that. The suits don't bother me too. What bothers me is, like Ken was saying before, is the CGI stuff, like the Green Goblin. If you pause the shot, he looks horrendous. Everyone's laughing. He looks like David Bowie.
But the thing.
What's that guy's name?
Green Goblin, Dale DeHaan.
I thought Harry Osborn. Harry Osborn isn't Dane. Harry Osborn isn't the Green Goblin. That's Norman Osborn.
Norman Osborn in the comics is Green Goblin.
So who's Harry, Hobgoblin?
Hobgoblin, right? You need to help me with this comic book.
Are we wrong, Tiff?
No, it is.
He does pick up the Green Goblin mantle later, but later. That's what's confusing.
This is what happened. We already saw this.
Yes,
we
thank you.
We already
had
James Franco and this relationship. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
But that's where I say don't jump to conclusions yet, because we don't know that. We don't know. You have to have the Green Goblin in a reboot, because again, eventually you're gonna have the Joker in the new Batmans. You're gonna have it. It's gonna have to happen.
With Batman, it's like, okay, we went through one run. We're in the new one. Well, we were just in the new one. Yeah. And it's like, you're not gonna put the Joker.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know that you're. I don't know that you're getting a Joker right away, and I think that the Spider-Man.
You are getting him. We've seen the shots.
I think that the Spider-Man villains are more diverse, so I don't know that you have to. I don't know that you have to go back to the Green Goblin. What I'll say is that while this Spider-Man movie that I just saw the trailer for looked cool, I really want to see the Spider-Man movie that's coming out that I saw at Comic-Con, which had Electro in it. That movie looks cool, and this looks like a totally different movie that they made.
I was on the other side of that, though, because when I saw I didn't like the Comic-Con footage, because I felt like to me, the footage they showed of Electro seemed like Edward Enigma from Batman Forever.
Want to see Jamie Foxx as the most ripped Smurf ever?
Yeah, that's what he looks like. But that's what's scary, though, is Mark's point, is the fact that what they showed at Comic-Con was a lot of Electro. I mean, a lot. Like, it looked like the whole movie was Electro versus Spider-Man. And then you see this footage, he's hardly in it.
Yeah.
And Rhino's in this too, right?
Rhino.
But they say that Rhino's not in it that much, apparently.
Well, he owned that trailer.
But now we know we're getting a Sinister Six movie later. So they're gonna set up all these villains.
Is the movie gonna be convoluted?
I feel like it is gonna be convoluted, but if they are doing Sinister...
So hard?
Yeah.
The Spider-Man franchise fails so hard. It's like the first one will be great. Because they try to do too much.
And this to me is Sony again trying to compete now, because now,
just
now
give
we're
it
getting
back tomorrow. Right. Just give it back.
Now that we're getting the Justice League movie in 2015.
Yeah, it's not Man of Steel 2.
No, it's not Man of Steel.
It's Justice League.
But now that we're getting this movie because they're getting the Sinister Six, and then Fox is now teaming up X-Men with Fantastic Four. Everybody's doing this shit now.
Yeah. So that's what they're doing.
Of course. What studio are you bitching about?
Right now?
Yeah.
Sony.
And who makes those headphones? It's just funny.
I can't hear shit.
No, you're complaining. Godzilla's going to wreck that whole operation anyway.
Let's move on to, there's another trailer that came out as well. Yes, we had.
Yeah, you got the Nolan one, Interstellar.
So we have 5 minutes. Just say it at this point. How much time? We have 10 minutes.
What do you mean at this point? That makes it seem like I think this podcast
has been going great. It's been going great, but he's giving me flashes.
Christian, this is where you need
flashes.
To focus.
I'm a woman,
we have 10 minutes left, man.
All right, 10 minutes, and let's talk about it. Interstellar. Now, let me start off with this one too. Interstellar for me. If you are a fan of this show and you've been watching us for a while, there's no surprise that I love Christopher Nolan, and I love what the guy does as a filmmaker. Minus the Batman movies.
This No, you like the Batman movies.
I love the Batman
movies. Okay, because the way you just said that.
You said, I love Nolan minus the Batman movies.
That's not what I meant. I mean, Batman.
The Prestige was good, but then
I legitimately was like, I don't know if we can be friends anymore.
Half of Schmelville just stood up from the computer.
Thank you for calling me out on that.
I'm here, buddy.
Putting the Batman movies aside.
Okay.
I love Dark Knight, and I'm the one who loves Dark Knight Rises, but Inception is my favorite one, followed by Memento. Those are my favorite movies. This movie, what I loved about this trailer of Interstellar is I don't know what the fuck it's about.
Yeah.
And I know that I just heard rumors about it. This is the only trailer I'm going to watch. It's the only one I need to watch. I know that there's rumors that it's time travel and parallel universes. Matthew McConaughey is hot right now. I am in. Sign me up.
Do you think Matthew McConaughey is going to do this movie and then like disappear for 20 years? Like, the dude is in everything.
Just hit a walk-off. I think he's going to make a kick-ass romantic comedy with Kate Hudson right after this. That's the next logical career step for
also,
him.
Also, why he's so... I feel like it's like he's trying to follow Christian Bale's footsteps, where it's like, I'm going to do all these super indie ones. I'm going to get really skinny and look really weird.
He's beaten... I don't know. Him and Bale are neck and neck. They're going to be going at it this year. But so, Ellis, what did you think about Interstellar trailer?
I felt like it looks like a great sequel to Contact, because you have Matthew McConaughey and he's narrating this thing about outer space. Seriously, that was the first thing I thought, was that voice. And when he's trying to hit on Jodie Foster, and then there's things about traveling outer space. And, and it's called Interstellar, and Chris Nolan is doing it. So you know it's going to be not only something that's really cool, but something that's going to be surprising that they didn't give away. You know that this trailer is going to give away everything. I actually wanted to be a little more teased, because I need to know like 10% more than this.
But why though? Because that's the thing though. Knowing that he's delivered on the Batman franchise, knowing that he's delivered on Inception the way he did, why do you need any more? Like, you're going to be entertained and there's going to be something new. Why do you need to see more?
Because that's what the definition of a teaser is.
Does it have to be?
Because I'm teased, because I want to know. I'm kind of upset a little bit. Right. I'm so upset. I'm going to march right down to that movie theater and I'm going to give that guy my $15. I'm going to buy a large pot. No, just to prove a point.
You're not even going to go to the press screen.
And I'm going to sit right there in the front row and I'm going to see that movie twice just to piss off Chris Nolan.
Okay. Good.
Tiff, so how did the theater react to it?
Everyone was pretty quiet. I think that a lot of people
didn't get it.
I think that didn't know what it was, had no idea about the film at all.
One guy yelled, "Say something funny."
I think that
it was a spaceship,
because it feels like a documentary, like the beginning of the trailer, where it's just like different scenes of things.
Right, and then you see Matthew McConaughey narrating. Right.
Yeah, and so you throw these things about time travel around, and it's like, really, that's about time travel.
But I will say, like the final shot where it's, you know, the shuttle going up into the air,
or whatever it is, right?
It made me feel the same way I felt when I saw
the penis pods in Man of Steel.
Hey. Man of Steel trailer.
Oh.
Where it was like this nostalgic feeling of like family and like being on a farm and just like warm and fuzzy. That's how I felt.
Okay, I got two questions about this. This picture comes out next summer? Next year? It said a year from now. So that's fine for a teaser trailer for now, because we don't really
know what it's about. That's why I think it's about time, by the way.
Here's something that I think is... Guys, I thought when it said a year from now, they were like putting me...
Oh, like telling
saying
you.
The movie takes place a year from now.
Oh, no, it says when the movie
comes out. In the future.
You were confused.
But it said it at the beginning of the trailer.
The movie comes out a year from now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, now you just confused me.
What an adorable babe in the woods.
You think that too?
It says it at the end.
Okay. All right. So
you're allowed to drive.
But usually, like, it will say coming out in a year, but it literally says across the screen a year from now.
Because the movie will come out.
Is your helper person downstairs?
Tiffany, go to sleep.
Wait, I got one more question, Tiff, because she saw this in the theater, and I just want to know, in what order did they put the trailer? Did something have to follow Godzilla, or was Godzilla the last trailer?
Godzilla was the first trailer.
Oh, and then what had to follow that? Because that might be a reason why people were really quiet after the next one.
I think the Interstellar was the last one.
Okay. Because you don't want to follow Godzilla, man.
Oh, and
it's a hard act.
This was another weird thing in the movie theater.
The Ice Cube Kevin Hart movie was... Oh, they showed that too, right?
Just kidding. No, I didn't see that one. But what's her face? The actress who's in Spider-Man. Why am I blanking on her name?
Gwen Stacy. No, Emma Stone.
That's the character.
Yeah. So Emma Stone does like a junket.
I'm a nerd alert.
We got so much into Riley's life with that one answer.
Oh, that was a joke too. But
Fantasy World Real World.
Yeah. Oh, she's my favorite actress.
You have your priorities in order, my friend.
She's beautiful, Gwen Stacy.
But she did like a junket intro to the trailer, which was really weird.
Wait, Emma Stone did?
Yes.
Really?
It was like her sitting dead in the front of the camera being like, so this new movie, my new movie's coming out and it's Spider-Man and check it out. I was like, this is really weird, and I almost felt embarrassed for her.
You're like, that's the take they kept?
Yeah.
That's Sony.
Do me a favor. Get access to her bank account and then feel ashamed for her.
But what is the point of that? Like, she's in the trailer. Do we need her to intro it?
Yeah, because she's hot right now. Sony wants the guys to know that, you know. Yeah.
But you need a lead into a trailer?
Like they need, like, guys need her to say, go see Spider-Man. Jesus, we're going to go see it anyways.
You don't need
porn, you got to get hard before you. Okay, Riley, how do you feel about Interstellar?
I didn't think the trailer was that great. I mean, I thought it was just whatever.
All right, well, thanks for talking. I appreciate
it. No, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't need to be.
You're going
to
see
Soul.
It.
I'm going to go see it.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to see it. All right. Yeah. So, the Riley, thank you. Those were the trailers.
You're welcome.
That are coming out. Check out alwaysschmoesknow.com.
Yeah, we get to do our trailer now. Next week.
Yeah, we're
this
do
very
that.
Same before, time. Before we get Christmas.
Wait, hold on. Let me intro this.
Wait, before we go.
So, right now, Mark Ellis is going to give us a trailer preview to next week.
Next week. Christmas. Schmoes. What movie will Mark and his mom watch together? Will it be Garfield's Christmas? Will it be Scrooge? Will it be Natural Born Killers? Tune in next week to find out.
I have questions for everybody, too, before we go to. We have the movies that are coming out this week. All right. So it is now. This episode will be out this Thursday.
Walking with Dinosaurs.
It comes out on the 20th. No one in this room would want to see that movie. No, I certainly don't want to see it again. You can see our reviews. All of these reviews, if you're listening to the show and you've never actually watched our reviews on YouTube, youtube.com/schmoesknow, or go to schmoesknow.com and check out the reviews there. Now, one of the movies that's coming, I think, as everyone here is anticipating that we've already seen, that would be Anchorman 2.
You stay classy, Christian Harwell.
I'll try.
I really want to see that.
Tiffany, I was making a face like you don't care.
No, I'm excited.
Oh, okay, you're excited. So you're a big fan of the first one?
I will admit I didn't see it for a really long time.
But when you did?
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay. So now what I want to ask, because everybody decided to see it, instead of saying like too much why you want to see it and all this stuff too, who do you think right now, comedically, this question for you guys, is the funniest guy out there right now? Who's a guy that, you
Present
know,
company excluded.
And it can be, it doesn't have to be a necessary, like, just a funny comedian all the time. It's a guy that when he hits the scene, or a woman who hits the scene, you're on board and you're just laughing because you know they're going to bring the funny. Who's that person? Ellis, why they're contemplating. You got somebody?
Right now, I would actually have to say Chris Pratt. Every time the guy comes on screen, it's usually, it recently has been in supporting roles, and he just has that look where you want to laugh at this guy. You want to kind of root for him, regardless of what he's in.
He's been good.
He's very funny.
I agree. I was going to go Pratt on that side, but I'll go female, and I'm going to say Melissa McCarthy.
Absolutely. You talk about forces of nature that are good. That's her.
What was that? Can you not like Melissa McCarthy?
She voted me out of the ground.
Is that true? Yeah. Get on that
really?
Mic.
Really?
She's one of the people that voted.
Get on that mic. Get on that mic right now. I never knew that story.
Yeah, we have breaking
news. I'm not going to talk about this. Hold on.
I know her husband. I can make an introduction.
I want to talk about this.
Yet another Hollywood connection.
Breaking story here. The Schmoville did not know. Ken Knapsack, you were part of the Groundlings.
I was part of the coming up of the classes
so
and all the stuff.
Explain
to
Schmoville who do not know what Groundlings is. Can you give him a quick...
It's an improv troupe started in like 1972 in LA.
It's maybe the most famous improv company.
Second City.
SNL picks a lot of their talent from.
It comes in waves, but yeah.
Now, who did you used to do scenes a lot with?
Oh, well, Kristen Wiig and Mikey Day, who's a writer on SNL now. Brian Keith Etheridge, who's a writer on Mike and Molly.
Okay. Brian Keith Etheridge is hysterical.
So did you ever do scenes with Melissa McCarthy?
No. She was part of the voting committee that my final level. I went all the way to the end.
Okay.
And
so who were some of the people that voted?
I was decimated and thrown out of there.
How many people voted?
It's the main company, so it's anyone.
I know we've talked about this briefly. Yeah. The Schmoville doesn't know that. What did that event do to you, like getting voted? Especially now with Melissa McCarthy, too. I want to know, like, seriously.
When I was voted out, I played Madden Football 2003 for a month straight and tried to kill myself.
Man,
no.
Too bad that Disney's Bears wasn't in theaters then.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too deep here, but like...
I moved to L.A. for that reason. And
Merry
I was
Christmas,
told
everybody.
By, you know, it's a very competitive environment, and I wish I approached it a different direction now than I did then. I was younger.
When they vote you off, they see you and they don't think you should be advanced to the next level. Is it like American Idol where you're standing there and they tell you why you're not good enough?
No, it's a secret vote.
It's
a conclave.
It's just you didn't make it.
How
do you
know she was the one who voted you?
She's on one of the committees.
But how do you know she didn't give you a thumbs up? How do you know she didn't vote you?
I know.
How do you know?
I know.
You just know people.
I was told.
Yeah.
She said, what
so they broke the code of silence.
You weren't in the room. They tell
you're
you.
Not, my teacher told me.
who voted you down?
Yeah.
She's telling each person they said yes, they said
no,
yes.
No, no,
no. Right, so how do you
I can't get into the particulars of that.
Why? They probably did him a favor. What do you mean? They probably said, hey, Kenny, don't tell anybody.
It led me to you guys 12
years later.
Don't
go blabbing about this on a podcast.
But I'll tell you who liked you and who didn't.
But I'll yeah.
It just, it's a longer story, but it got very heated. It was a very personal time. A teacher almost quit over it, and not just me. Not just me. Not just me. The entire class. It changed some things at the Groundlings.
That whole thing with your class.
2002, December 2002.
So was that class caused some shit?
It caused some crap. Yes.
Wow. Ken, can I tell you something? I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'd like to thank Melissa McCarthy because without that happening to you, then we would not have been, however briefly that star shine, Ken Knapsack on a stand-up comedy stage burned brightly when it was there, and thank God for it. So thank you, Melissa McCarthy.
I borrow some money for pizza.
Yeah, I agree with that too, because I think there's always those moments that you look back and you go, that one, that's your one?
It's a whole thing. This is for the Knapsack files. I feel
this is something we don't talk about. This is the good thing about the
I wish
field.
I approached it differently and moved on. I got so tired of sketch, I ended up in stand-up, which,
we miss
you. A whole nother suicide attempt.
Come back.
Back. It's very political. So when you have people, say, who co-wrote an Oscar-winning script in our own community come up to you and go, that was a really good sketch. And you're really good at this, and then you find out that they were just talking.
All right, so fuck Melissa McCarthy. My pick is who's the dude from Community actually? Kev Offerman? What's the guy?
Jim Rash.
No, what's the guy's name? I guess the guy.
Oh, yeah, Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman is a guy for me. Nick Offerman gets me. Like, I find that guy super, super funny.
For me right now, Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. Tiff, you got somebody?
I would say.
Don't say Melissa McCarthy.
I'll vote you out of here.
It's like a tie. Ty Burrell.
Ty Burrell.
On Modern Family.
Okay.
And also Mindy Kaling.
You know, Mindy Kaling.
Season of that show, I never
watched
it.
My wife loves it.
I like legitimately think my neighbors think there's something wrong with me. When that show's on, I'm like.
She loves it. It's funny,
up.
Too. When Mindy Kaling was on The Office, I went. Same shtick. Yeah. She does. I still find it a little far fetched that she gets the most good looking dudes like out on the planet, like when she's running around. But she's very funny, and the writing is very funny in that show. All right, so those are the funny ones. We got a nice deep story from our producer, the Pit Boss, who's actually has a hit on Melissa McCarthy as we speak.
Yeah, you know, speaking of great comedy, this weekend I'll be at Hilarities in Cleveland performing myself and John Caparillo before the Christmas holiday. Come on out and check it out this weekend. Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually there right now.
Oh, you're
I'm actually there right now.
Oh, wow, that's right.
I will be performing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. One of our fellow YouTube community buddies, Chris Stockman, will be coming out and watching one of the shows. So
check out if you're out there. Yeah. And you can always find out Mark Ellis's dates on his website, markellis.com. And check us all out on Twitter. You can find Tiffany, at DC All Access. So you just go on, you can find
every Tuesday. DC All Access on DC's website.
Is that 1 year from now or is that now?
Now.
Okay.
And also Stacked will be back this weekend.
So it's about time. At Tiffany's Tweets, at Riley Around, schmozno.com, at Ken Knapsack. And guys, another thing that you have to check out, Ripped Apparel. You get, it's still SK Hobbit for the month of December. You get $1 off. The other thing that's very important, especially for now, if you're listening to this on iTunes, and even if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, go to iTunes, rate and leave a comment for the iTunes. It helps us climb in the charts and helps get more guests on here and helps people know that the Schmoes Know Movie Show is up and about. Yeah, and finally, like we said, Drama 3-4, we are broadcasting from their offices right now. We've partnered with them. We have a special thing. There is some footage that we have attained.
And it is not Christian and Bonnie.
Stupid. Through Drama 3-4.
Yeah.
Through Drama 3-4, we have attained some footage that we will debut on the Schmoes Know YouTube channel and website the day after Christmas.
Mm. Merry Christmas.
That's right.
Schmoville.
That's right. So make sure that you check that out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And like Tiffany said, next week we will be talking about the movies that are coming out on Christmas and our favorite Christmas movies of all time. For the Schmoes Know Movie Show, I'm Christian Harloff.
Good night to all, and to all
that's
a good night.
I can open all the presents before Christmas.
Peace out, Mother Effs.
Dude up. Dude up.